Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Joanna, as you know, and I'm so excited for our call today. We've got an open coaching practicum. We have a couple of these in Sacred Depths, and this is our first one. And essentially, what we're going to be doing over the next 90 minutes is we're going to have one, hopefully two, depending on time. I think we'll be able to have two, but we'll see how it goes. Model coaching sessions. I'm not going to be doing the coaching. I asked for volunteers, and you guys stepped forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a coaching session, a short one. So we're going to have a coach and a client. And the coach is going to, the session will be, I'm going to say about 22-ish minutes, 22 to 24 minutes. And the purpose of us all listening to the coaching happening is for learning and for integration and to go deeper into all of the skills that we've been looking at and learning together over these last months. And then after the 22, 24 minutes, we're going to have a discussion, all of us, around what were the parts of that session that worked really well, what was done really masterfully, what are the skills that were used. You know, why we may ask the coach, why did you choose to do this? You know, what was the motivation? And then we'll also look at, okay, what could have been done maybe differently, right? Because there's more than one path always. It's an art, not a science. We'll look at and brainstorm what could have been done differently or maybe what could have been more effective. These kinds of open practicums really require you, everybody, to actively use your listening skills, right? To like actively listen and really bring together all of your skills. I want to be clear for the two coaches that are going to be coaching on this call. First of all, thank you to both of you. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Suzanne, for being brave. It is a big deal to raise your hand and say, I'm willing to be vulnerable and to do this in front of everybody. So first of all, just big thank you to the two of you. What I want to be clear on is that the purpose of this call isn't to critique them. They'll both walk away with a lot of feedback, that is for sure. But the real purpose of, and I have other programs where it's just everybody in the program, you know, gets to do this sample coaching, and it's for their own feedback, right? But that's not what this is. This is for all of us on the call to really learn, to integrate all of the learning, to go deeper with what you already know. I want you, so first of all, just to say, we're going to, as I said before, for the coaches, just so you know, you're going to get a lot of love. We're going to talk about all the things. We're awesome, right? And then when we get to the places where we do something differently, this isn't about... again, it's not about criticism, it's about learning, and it will be done with a lot of love and a lot of respect. I'm going to be taking extensive notes, and I'll also chime in at the end with anything that wasn't shared that I want to make sure everybody knows. If you are a listener, right, so if you're listening in on the coaching session, I want you to be taking notes as well. And I want you to be looking for a lot of things, actually, but I'm going to name some of the specific things that I want you to be taking notes on as you listen. Number one, energetics and container. What do you sense about the energetics and about the container. Number two, how is the coach listening? What is the coach listening for? What are the specific things that the coach is picking up on? What are the ways that the coach is creating awareness on? Are there things that if you were the coach, you would create awareness on differently or on different pieces? What are the questions that the coach is asking? Are they effective? Are there different types of questions or a line of questioning that you might do differently? Is strategizing happening? How is it happening? What's going really well with the strategizing and the visioning? And what are some pieces you might do differently, right? So those are the foundational skills that any coaching session you can count on, right? You want all of those things that I just mentioned, energetics and container, listening, creating awareness, breakthrough questioning, visioning, and strategizing. No matter what content comes up, all of those things are going to be at play. What we can't say for sure is going to come up is a need to befriend fear or a need to rewire thought patterns or navigating through a resistance archetype or working with myth of perfection or getting off the wheel of self-sabotage. Accountability actually probably is going to come into play in one way or another no matter what, right? So we can't manufacture any of those second set of skills, but we want to, you know, one of them is probably going to come up in one way or another at least, and so I want you to be looking and watching for those as well. Maybe you would use a different tool than the coach did. As you're listening, listen for the coach's filters and the client's filters and your filters. As you're observing, take note if for the four levels. Now, the four levels of learning and transformation in 22 to 24 minutes, the coach may not necessarily hit all four levels. So coaches, I don't want you to scramble and twist yourselves into a pretzel to do that. But let's notice and see how many of those are hit, right? So I want you to just be thinking about this from all angles and really use this time to get what you need to take you to your next place when it comes to your coaching. All right. So, with all of that said, let's bring our first coach and client partner up. If you guys can just, Stephanie and Maggie, if you can just raise your hands, star two, so I can see where you are and I can get you, that would be awesome. Let's see. Maggie, are you here? You've signed up to be a client. I think it was Maggie. Maybe it wasn't. Hold on a second. Let me make sure I have this right. Stephanie, I see you. Just want to make sure I get your client. Okay, this is not. Hold on one sec. Oops. How is Maggie? Oh, there you are. Okay, great. Awesome. Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi. And, oh, you guys, sorry. Tech issues here. Let me get Maggie. Give me one more sec. There we go. Maggie.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you both so much for volunteering. I know for both of you, it's a vulnerable. And I just so appreciate it. We all appreciate it. So like I said, I'm going to time it. You'll get about 22 minutes if you need, you know, an extra minute to wrap up, or, you know, you'll have it. I'm not going to give you time. Part of being, you know, a coach is to manage time. I'll let you know if you're starting to go over time, though. And before we this doesn't have to be like a quote-unquote first session either, right? Just start, set the container, and get into it. But Stephanie, let me just ask you, as you're going into this, for yourself, like if there was a particular skill or edge place for you that you are really using this session to be on, to stretch into, to lean into, learn into, what would that be? What's important for you?
That's a good question. I was writing down all of the pieces that people could be listening for, and I feel like maybe it's the most obvious. I'm probably already doing it, but the creating awareness piece.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that still feels kind of elusive, but I would love to feel into that more and get some feedback around that.
Awesome. Okay, great. Good. So that can be your intention or something else, but do you have an intention for the session?
Do I have an intention for the session? My intention, I'm feeling really nervous right now. So I guess my intention is to get out of my own way and not make this about me and just stay centered and focused on Maggie.
Oh, totally normal to be nervous. And I love that intention. All right. So I'm going to let you take it away.
Thanks, Joanna. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi. How are you feeling today? Feeling ready for this?
I've got my fair share of anxiety. I feel like the technical difficulties that Joanna was experiencing had to do with my resistance.
Yeah. Is there anything you feel like you need to do to get settled and centered before we start?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Awesome. So tell me, Maggie, what is it that I can help you with today? What are you wanting to focus on?
That is a great question. I have, I've given it a little bit of thought here and there, and I haven't really come up with something super specific. I do just want to gain more clarity. You know, it's kind of this time in my life where my youngest just turned 18. She's moving to Nashville, Tennessee. My other one's moving to California, and I've got this new space that I really am not quite sure what I'm doing with yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess clarity around that, clarity around what I'm even doing within the sacred depths. It's like I dive in and then I dive right back out. And I suppose if I had maybe some more clarity around that, I would be a little bit more consistent. But that's what I'm finding right now. I'm just kind of inconsistent, you know?
Okay, awesome. So what I'm hearing is that this feels like a big transition time in your life. Your youngest just turned 18. They're going off to other parts of the world. And you have this new space available to you, which you didn't have before. And with that space, you're sort of feeling like, what should I be doing with this space, right? And related to that, you brought up specifically around your presence in sacred depth. And what are you doing here in this program? Am I hearing all
that's
that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And so when you say you want clarity, I'm curious to learn more about what you mean by that. Like, what is it that you would like to walk away with after our time together today?
Oh, man. I wouldn't say that I'm ungrounded, but maybe just more of a sense of direction. I don't expect to actually have that, in our 20 minutes, but I guess my pattern has been I want to move out of Utah, and then I look at places to go, and then once I think I settle in on it, then everything is, oh, you know, there's a huge resistance to everything I wanted about it. And I feel like that's just kind of my general theme. You know, part of my reason for even getting into the Sacred Depths program was to figure out that direction a little bit more clearly, and I just feel like I haven't done that. You know, I you know, if you want to get into like whole self-sabotage thing, I think I'm pretty good at that. that's a good consistent of mine. So
awesome. Okay. So more of a sense of direction for where you want to take yourself with this new space that you have.
Correct.
And I would love to just dig into this a little bit more because of a couple of things that you said that I'd love to reflect. So you said after you talked about wanting a sense of direction, you talked about how, you know, there's been times where you have picked a direction, right? Where you say, I want to move to Utah. And you get really settled in that idea, but then there's some resistance and you pull out. Right?
Yes, close. I'm actually in Utah, but yeah, the moving out of Utah part, yes, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard a similar pattern that you mentioned in regards to sacred depths, where you get really invested and you take your time and you commit to it, and then you pull yourself back out again. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. I would say that's a pretty good pattern in general, you know.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So in terms of like picking a direction to go with your time, are you interested in just sort of coming up with, you know, maybe a set of strategies, a place to put your energy into to do that work? Or are you interested in looking more at this pattern of you pick that direction and then the commitment is a piece that you struggle with?
That is a good question. I kind of feel like one might lend itself to the other. I'm down with starting with either of those.
Yeah.
If there's something that maybe you picked up on, you know, that's pulling you in a direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, you said you wanted some clarity and a sense of direction. And I think starting there and seeing maybe where your heart is feeling pulled, and then if this other stuff comes up, you take a look at it then. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Awesome. So you've got this extra space, this time on your hands, and there's a big question of like, what am I doing with it? So I'm curious, like, what are some of the things, what are some of the places where you've been putting your energy that you're feeling called right now?
Just like in a general space, I mean, I've thought about specific cities or places, but more than anything, I want to have a space where, you know, I'm in a place that, where it feels comfortable and affordable to stay and live. Because one of my biggest things is I really just want to travel. It's also important for me to have a place to come back to. That's just, you know, to like, if my place is a storage unit, that doesn't feel as nice as to say, right, oh, I have a place to come back to that has my stuff in it, that's comfortable, that, you know, people can stay when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably my biggest overall what I want to do with my life is travel a lot. Part of the reason why, besides just trying to gain some direction, that Sacred Depths seemed appealing to me is that coaching is something that you can do from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, all you need is a phone connection or a Wi-Fi connection to do it.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. So I'm hearing that there's this big passion around traveling, that you really just wanted to do that for a long time. And in addition to that, you want to make sure to have a home base that feels comfortable and affordable that you can come back to and that other people can use when you're gone. Is that right?
That's correct.
Awesome. So when you think about making that move and traveling. What comes up for you next?
How the heck I'm going to do it, you know? Staying in Park City has become more appealing, and I don't know if it's because I don't have direction or if it's because it just feels comfortable in a way that I don't feel like stretching myself in a different direction and taking a leap, or if it's, you know, if it's actually, I mean, I do like it here and all. Affordability is a little bit, you know, it's not quite affordable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there's, you know, steps around making it more that way. So deciphering that, I feel like the whole lockdown thing was it inhibited me more than letting me just kind of hunker down into it and figure that out. It was more like, okay, well, I had these plans to travel to these places to look at houses and to, you know, feel the vibe. And then it was like, now you're locked down. And then, you know, you have these feelings of, oh, it's not so bad here. And things of that nature. I don't know if any of that's kind of making sense at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. The lockdown, I mean, it's so hard for so many reasons for so many of us, especially those of us who enjoy traveling. It feels like a big, big unknown right now.
Right. And I like made literally zero money for like 60 days. Luckily it got warm here and I do some landscaping stuff in the summer, but, so that was difficult too. And kind of takes away that, that little nest that you have for traveling, if that makes, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So navigating that has been interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that what's getting in your way as you think about making the shift in your life and traveling more is there's a big question of the how. And there's money that comes up, like how am I going to afford this? And then there's confusion about, you know, is this place where you're at currently, is this your home base or is somewhere else your home base?
I would say that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So all the details of it. I'd love to step back from those details for a moment and zoom out a little bit because it's so easy when we get thinking about the details and the how that it ends up throwing us off. We get really focused on that piece and we forget about the bigger picture and the bigger dream. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about, like, what is the vision? Like, when you think about wanting to travel, like, what places are you going? And how are you getting there, right? Like, in your ideal scenario, in the big vision, like, what would you like to see happening for yourself?
I would say that most places are not off limits. You know, honestly, when I think about traveling, there's so many places I'd like to go and see, just experience different cultures. And I'd like to travel in such a way that, you know, you're really in the culture, not just like, oh, I'm going to go to this place and do all the tourist things, but actually go and enjoy and, you know, spend some time in some places and, you know, maybe even, you know, create like a small home base within that travel time, you know, to go back and forth from and see, you know, the entirety of countries and cultures within.
Yeah. Awesome. And what would feel good about that? Why is that important to you?
Experience, freedom. It's something, you know, traveling is something I've always loved to do. When I was younger, I did a lot of traveling within just this country, which, of course, is a great place to start right now as well, or as soon as all this stuff is lifted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, there's so much to be enjoyed and to learn through experience, and that's kind of the way I've learned the best.
Mhm.
Mhm.
Yeah. So you really want to have that freedom to move. You want to have these new experiences. It's really important to you to have that.
Right. And now that I've been, that sounds really weird, granted the freedom, you know, with the whole last kid flying the coop. I'm like, oh crap, what do I do with all this freedom, you know? How do I make this freedom happen and not feel like I'm locked down to any one way, I suppose.
Yeah. I'd like to pause for a moment. For myself to just think about everything that you just said and formulate a question, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go for it.
So I'm curious, and this might not resonate with you, but if it does, let me know. If there were something that felt scary about having freedom, what would that be?
I don't know that the idea of freedom is scary to me. I suppose it's like, I almost think it's like to anchor in the other direction that's maybe not so much scary, but like a little confusing or a little unsure, which would be that whole like, where do I want to plant my roots? You know, my kids were raised here, so it kind of feels right to have a little space here. But I also feel like if I'm going to have a space here, it's, you know, unless I, you know, something comes up or I have some sort of direction to make it financially feasible, that the freedom to move around and travel and, you know, hopefully the whole live music scene comes back on and to go see live music whenever I want to, basically, you know, that kind of gets drowned in keeping my anchor here. So, yeah, I think it was a great question for sure. And I think it's more of the, it's less being scared about the freedom and more being like, well, how the hell am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And what feels right. Yeah.
There's something there about the anchor, right? And I feel like that's a theme that on the one hand, I hear you express a desire to have a home base. And on the other hand, I've heard you say a couple of things around, like, you don't want to feel locked down to anything.
Yeah.
So when you hold those two different desires, so on the one hand, wanting to have the ultimate freedom, and the other hand, wanting to have this safe home base, where do you feel those different desires in your body, if you can locate them anywhere?
Just right off the top, I would say that it's kind of hard because I would say the anchor thing, the home base thing, shares space between my heart and my head, right? And then the freedom is more of like a heart and like a whole body experience. It feels really right. I know that's what our desire is, to get out into the world and, you know, experience it for what it is.
Yeah.
But there's always a, you know, and not only is it like a safety thing, I guess it is a safety thing. It's like a security, like to have, you know, like if you're not rooted in a place, like how high can you go, right? Like if you're not grounded, then how can you, you know, flourish? Otherwise, you're just going to like drift off into space, sort of thing.
Yeah. So this idea that you need to be grounded, you need to be rooted, and that's going to give you the freedom that you need.
That's correct.
And I love that.
And I say that's changed from like when I was a youth and before I had kids, I was just like, woohoo, let's go, you know, just jump in a van and that's all I had.
Yeah.
But, you know, kids will change you.
Totally. And so that's what you're navigating right now, right? Is you had this sort of abandon when you were younger and then became very rooted. And now there's a process of sort of, you know, feeling around like what roots need to be pulled up, like what needs to still stay there. How can you have both the arms reaching up to the sky and the roots on the earth?
Right. Correct.
So I would love to actually, if you wouldn't mind, tune into that full body feeling that you got when you thought about the freedom that you desire. Can you feel that again?
I can.
Awesome. What does it feel like?
It feels like vibrationally, it feels just really nice. It has that feeling of groundedness, and it has that feeling of like flutter and excitement, and I can feel it. Like it doesn't have, there's no like heaviness to it, if that makes sense. Like it feels good in my body, and it feels good inches away from my body.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I'd love to reflect something you just said, that you said that there is a groundedness there. But it's not heavy.
Right.
Yeah. So I wanted you to tune into that sense of groundedness that you're feeling. That doesn't feel heavy. But it's still giving you a sense of safety, maybe, of place. If you could give this energy a name or attach an image or something, What would you give to this energy as an identity?
I mean, honestly, the first word that comes to my mind is love, as cheesy as that sounds. Yeah. But that's what it feels like. It just feels really nice. Like I can literally feel it flow like through my entire body up and down my spine, which is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So tuning into this feeling of love that's just flowing up and down your body, grounding you without restricting you. If you were to ask this part of yourself, what is it that you need to feel grounded, what would it say?
Not saying much right now, which is kind of funny. I feel like, but what I can say is, like, if I was to tap in, or the more, if I was to really, you know, I know we don't have a ton of time right now, and I'll reflect on that later after our call is done. I would say what it feels like it's going to do, the more that I think of, like, what do I need to be grounded, that it is going to become more of a thinking thing, and it's going to go into my head. And that's kind of where I'm like, you know, that's where I get like, I don't know. Like, always. Seems to be my default. It's like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. And I'm
flooding.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm good.
Just sort of reflecting back on everything we've talked about, and I wonder, this thing that you brought up at the very beginning, this pattern of you get really settled into an idea and you move in that direction and then you pull back out of it. Like, how much of that is a tug of war between these full body feelings and your head?
Gosh, I would, you know, somewhere in there, I would say quite a bit, you know, and I'm trying to, like, even, you know, bring it into other areas of my life, even simple things like, oh, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar, and then I'm playing every day, and then I make progress, and I'm like, heck yeah, and the next thing you know, I won't pick it up for like a month, you know, it's like, that's kind of the pattern that, you know, same thing with the whole sacred depth thing, I get really into it, and then you know, maybe if it's even like I reach like a little blocking point where I'm like, I don't know how to answer these questions. I don't remember my childhood very well, or, you know, I don't know how this relates. And then instead of just being okay with skipping over that for a minute, I just abandon ship, you know? So I feel like that, I mean, that could definitely be a piece of once I figure out or think I figure out where I want to go and head, you know, and then I'm like, you know, I hit a roadblock or I start to think about all the things, if we're talking about literally a place to move, but then I start to think about all the things that are wrong with that place instead of being excited, just go for it.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a pattern of like not just going for it as well.
Yeah. Well, what I am seeing though is that you do go for it, right? Like you have made big moves in your life and you have signed up for this program, and it sure it reveals that you do have the ability to really tune in to that inner voice and that energy and to act on it, right? And you asked for clarity at the beginning of this call. I feel like when you were tuning in to that body feeling and what you really deeply desired, there's so much clarity there.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so,
yeah, it feels really good.
If we had more time, which I realize I probably have already gone over.
Yep, you have like 30 seconds. Wrap it up.
Okay, awesome, perfect. what I would give for homework then is to just start to notice when this is happening for you, when you feel that all over buzzy feeling about something and something pulls you back out and into your head, just sort of make note of when that's happening for you. And like, what are the thoughts that are coming up in those moments? Right. And just start to write those down and notice them. You don't have to do anything to change them just yet. But just noticing that pattern and bringing some awareness to that, because you don't want to be on this yo-yo anymore, right? You want to live in that space of clarity. So we need to bring some shine a light, basically, on the things that are tripping you up, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I like that a lot. And like as soon as you said that, the one word that came up was insecurity. I think that's good. I think that's something to work around. Like, you know, and it goes further than just the where am I going to go sort of thing. So I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm so glad that resonates with you.
Excellent. Well, thanks. That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yay. Good.
Yay. Yay, Stephanie. Yay, Maggie. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so Maggie, I'm going to come back to you in a little bit, but for now,
okay.
I'm going to put you on mute. Stephanie, I'm going to hang on with you for a sec. I want to hear from you. How did you feel about that?
So that was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Not at all.
I feel like, and I may have even brought this up on a call before, but I feel like I often have this pattern, especially when I'm nervous, of like feeling like I'm losing track of the threads in the middle, and worrying that I'm asking the wrong questions, or that, you know, there's a piece that I'm missing because I'm like not seeing everything clearly. So I felt like that a little bit in the middle, but I tried to just sort of breathe through it and hold that intention of not getting like obsessed with my own performance. And I feel like by the end I felt more settled and centered, and I feel like that's when I asked some questions that maybe landed a little better.
Agreed. I think that, I mean, it was going so well to begin with, but I think the turning point where things shifted was when you said, can I have a moment, because I want to think about the question that I want to ask you. And that was really beautiful. And by the way, for everybody, you can always do that in a coaching session, 100%. But what I noticed, Stephanie, was that once you did that, the flow shifted a bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, so really nice catch on that and managing your energy. You said at the beginning that you wanted to stretch by way of creating awareness. How do you feel like you did on that front?
I think we got there by the end. I found myself even using that word of like creating awareness around it. So I think I did it. I don't know if it was the right thing to create awareness around, or if it was as like, I don't know. And these are just stories that I tell myself of like, is it the right thing? Is it the most like mind blowing awareness? Like maybe not, but it was something.
It was more than something. We can ask Maggie, and Maggie will ask you in a little bit, you know, truthfully. And it doesn't have to always be mind-blowing.
Right.
That's not – mind-blowing is, like, totally sexy, but it's not always the thing that's needed. I have a lot of notes of different places where you made – where you created awareness, and we'll go through them, and I'm sure a lot of people will share. And then some places where I think you could have leaned in even more. So, but I think you did a really great job creating awareness and overall. Thank you for being willing and risking. I'm going to put you on mute right now, and I'm going to lower your hand and Maggie's hands. But if you guys want to share in the conversation that we're going to have, please raise your hands as well. So hopefully everybody took a lot of notes like I did. Let's start with what Stephanie did really well. What did you notice that she did really well? What are specific examples of the skills, you know, energetics, listening, creating awareness, you know, all the things I mentioned in the beginning, questioning, visioning, strategizing. What did you notice and observe? What did she do really well? And what did you learn as you were listening? Star two. And don't be shy, guys. This is going to work best if everybody shares and contributes. We'll learn a lot. Susan.
Hey, first of all, thank you both so much. I was nervous listening, so I appreciate you walking through any anxiety so we can all grow and learn. And I was so impressed and intrigued and inspired by Stephanie's willingness to really go slow with setting the energetic container. I notice when I work, I'm so aware of time that sometimes I try to skip ahead and I don't really. I loved, Stephanie, how you kept reflecting back to Maggie. Well, what I heard is this. Well, what I heard is this. Like that really, like the pacing of it felt so deliberate. And it seemed like it allowed so much space for Maggie to settle in, to be willing to bring other things forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though it was such a short period that they had, you couldn't feel it. Even if Stephanie was feeling nervous about that on her part, you couldn't feel it. And she really took the time, like you said, Susan, to set the container. And she started, if you guys, well, you know what, I won't add too much. I'll wait to see what other people want to say. But are there any specifics that you want to mention around how you said she reflected a lot? Any other specifics that you want to mention, Susan, around how she set the container?
I think that the, well, first of all, I loved the kind of double back on the intention. So it seemed like when, because Maggie said that, I'm really not clear. I've given it some thought. And it seemed like Stephanie was really willing to pause there for a minute. Like, let's really figure out where we want to go first.
Yeah.
And then also, ability to jump tracks, to kind of follow her lead and go, okay, well, let's go over this way. Do you want to do inner or outer? Okay, let's do both. Like all along in the container, it felt like she was really lining up to what Maggie was bringing.
Yeah, 100% good. So let's pause here because this is important for everybody. Thank you for sharing that, Susan.
Uh-huh. On mute. Thank you.
One of the things that you always want to do in every session to set the container at the beginning is to ask, what is it that you want to focus on, or what do you want to receive from our time together, or what do you want to walk away with, right? Because if you don't ask those questions, it's like trying to steer a ship without a destination to steer it to. Now, Stephanie did a great job of asking that. She said, I think she said, what do you want to focus on? And Maggie answered, and it still was not clear. Even through Maggie's answer, she still wasn't clear yet, which can oftentimes happen on what she really wanted to get from the session. You don't want to stop there. Stephanie took the time to reflect back, you know, what I'm hearing is. And then she asked the next question that was still related to understanding what Maggie really wanted. She said, when you say that you want clarity, what do you actually want around that? What does clarity mean for you, right? Because just to say I want clarity in general, it's not going to be enough for us to guide and hold the space to support a client to get to a destination. Stephanie realized she needed to get more clear there, and she did. Awesome. Siobhan, what did Stephanie do really well?
Hi. Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, yes, thank you guys so much. That was amazing. And Stephanie, I was just so impressed with everything about the way you presented. I mean, you used all these tools, but I would love to have a coach like you. I mean, I just think you did such a great job with, I just felt, you know, energetically, you were so patient and, you know, just present and calm and, you know, listening. So, yeah, the reflecting back really struck me. I thought you did wonderfully with that, and, you know, you were clear. I recognize that I'm not as good at that as you are, and so that was really nice for me to listen to. I also loved what Joanna just brought up when you said, you know, you wanted to dig deeper into what clarity meant for her. And you use the word curious in there. I loved the flow of it. I thought you did such a great job. I was comparing myself and going, holy cow,
awesome.
Especially under that pressure. You know, I don't think I could have done as good a job. So I just really want to congratulate you on that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, so one of the, Siobhan, you mentioned a couple of things. I'm going to put you back on mute now. One of the things, again, like the energetics and the patience and the holding space, so important, right? You could feel that Stephanie was with Maggie every step of the way. She was fully present to the conversation. Good. Let's see, who is this? Is this Christine? Christine R. Yes, it is. Hi.
Hi. I just want to, you know, everything that everybody said, and again, thank you both so much. It's such a gift and a blessing for you to do this for us. So the same, along the same line. So definitely in the clarification. And what I really noticed about her, you know, attempting to pin her down and getting clearer was the way, Stephanie, that you did it in a very loving way, where it didn't seem like, okay, lady, you know, like, get clear, right? Like, you were like, really, you know, I'm really interested in this. This is what I'm hearing you saying, you know, can you clarify for me a little bit more what this means for you? So you were always bringing it back with a real energy of, I'm in this for you. I care about you. I'm hearing you. I'm seeing you. I'm feeling you. I really want to commend you on your ability to take that step back and to say, okay, just a minute. I need to process. And you came back with a question. And when Maggie wasn't able to have a clear answer to the question about being grounded, you didn't let that send you into a tailspin. You worked with where she was at, and you worked with the, you took the fact, that she wasn't able to get a clear answer, and you coached her on that, which then brought you to that really important piece about the mind and body discrepancy, right? The, you know, the back and forth between, you know, what she knows in her heart and soul and her body, but then what happens in terms of, you know, the scariness of the commitment. So going into the head and how that takes her out of it. And yeah, it's, you know, my coaching part. Yeah. My coaching partner and I were talking about this last week about how there can be many different paths to get to that nugget. Right. And so you got there. So
yeah,
that's what I noticed.
Agreed. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So much in there. And I'll pause on the last piece, which is just such a beautiful awareness that you brought Maggie to around how she actually knows in her full body what it is. She has the clarity. And you created awareness for her around that, both through the little visualization as well as outright saying that to her at the end, right? You reflected that truth back, but to see the difference between, okay, I actually have this clarity, but it's my mind that pulls me out of it. And then you guys got deeper into that. Awesome. Thank you, Christine. Take a few more of these. Anne.
Hey there. So I won't reiterate what other people
have
said.
Yeah, just anything new.
Like all of that. There was one specific note that I had that when Maggie was getting into the details of like, well, how do I do that? How do you do that? And he said, okay, I just want to, let's zoom out for a minute. And I really liked how you redirected her to get out of being mired in the details and how do I do that and step out into a bigger picture. And I think, I suspect that somewhere you might have already been planning to go with that if there had been more time was to like unpack what that dynamic is. But I thought that was especially brilliant to not just the getting to look at it from a wider perspective, but the visual of let's zoom out, let's not get lost in it. I heard it like let's not get lost in the weeds, but yeah. So everything else on that.
Awesome. I'm glad you're bringing that forward, and I want to pause on that for a moment. So that what Anne is talking about is a combination of both the importance of, even though we always in so many ways want the client to lead, sometimes we as coaches need to make decisions in the session based on what the client has told us they want. So that was an example of Stephanie doing that, you know, her making a suggestion of let's zoom out. And I agree with you, Anne. I love the visual of it. What I also want to point out, though, is that Stephanie created awareness with the zoom out, not just by saying, you know, let's zoom out, but what she said along with that was sometimes we can get so focused on the how that it knocks us out of, and I didn't get the last word she said, but it's something around the dream or the vision, right? Maggie, right before that was happening, was getting in her regular ego, you know, monkey mind around the how, the how, the how, the how, which is a thing that stops her every time. Now, at some point, and I think Stephanie knew this, they were going to, and Anne, I think you said that, they were going to need to get into that. But for the time being, in order to get more deeply into this vision and to really feel into the clarity of what she wants, Stephanie created the awareness of, you know, sometimes the how can really knock us out of the vision. So what that does is it helps the client go there with you. Good. Thank you, Anne. Jen, you figured out how to raise your hand. Yay! You there? I took you off mute.
Oh, hi. I had myself on mute, too. I was double muted. Excellent. It was so incredible to listen to that session. I also just echo what everybody else was saying. And also, Joanna, you kind of hit on what I was going to say. But I just love how she was able to not just bring her back to, you know, the feeling that she gets when she thinks about her, you know, her dream or, you know, her vision, but also the, you know, really truly the excitement of it. Because I got the sense that, you know, she was walking away from the call and really was reminded of all the things, you know, really reminded of why she felt the way she did and why she had the vision she did, and just really brought it back to the basics of it. Like, oh, that feeling, that's the feeling I want. That's the dream I have about my life. Really, she just got to take, like you said, all the details, all the minutiae, all the things that were kind of, you know, making it feel heavy or hard. And she got to, you know, move those things away just to get that feeling again of why she was even, you know, wanting this in the first place. And I don't really know if I have the right way to, you know, to phrase it. But I just walked away with this feeling that she, like, got really excited again, almost like for the very first time in her life. Like, oh, yeah, this is what I want. And this is what it brings me.
And that's what you're speaking to, Jen, which you're articulating very well, is back to visioning, right? And our visioning module and why it's so important. Sometimes we vision at the beginning of a project, but oftentimes we have to go back and support our clients to lean back in, to really connect deeply with what they really want for themselves, because so much motivation comes forward when we're connected in deeply to our vision.
Right.
Yeah, beautiful. So glad you're bringing that forward. Thank you. And April.
Hi there. I wanted to say thank you to both participants. It was awesome. I really loved hearing that Stephanie did ask for a pause just to, like, collect her thoughts for a moment. Because, mm-hmm. And the tracking of the whole conversation, she just brought Maggie into what was your intention, what is your intention, where are we going, and then following back up on like, holy smokes, like, wait, that she said that in the very beginning of the conversation, and she brought it all the way around full circle at the end. It was a fantastic listen. Really impressed.
Yeah.
But the pause
so important. I'm so glad that we could see it happen in motion. Give everybody the permission, hopefully, to know that you can do that in a session.
Yes, that was the biggest part for me. I'm feeling like I could do it. Like, it's okay to take a minute mm-hmm. and let them hang for a second.
Yes. Yeah, good.
And I also appreciate that you brought up the other part, too, where it might have gotten just a little, the flow shifted a bit. So I can't wait to listen to it again. It was fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good. All right, let's switch gears now, or I shouldn't say let's switch gears, because it's really all along the same trajectory, just for us to learn and integrate more deeply. Next question I want to ask everybody, a couple questions I want to hear from you is, what might you have done differently? Or any question that you have for Stephanie around, like, what was her motivation? Maybe she made a choice that you wouldn't have made in trying to understand it more. So what are some things that she could have done differently? What are some things that you would have done differently? Or what are some things that you're wondering about or questioning? And like I said earlier, feel free to please raise your hand on this. This is not criticism. We're going to do this with love, and it's important for all of our learnings. I have some things around this that I'm going to share as well. Star two. Siobhan.
Okay, so what was really cool here was that I recognized right off the bat my own filter, but it was probably a filter I could have used and would have gone in that direction, and that was the empty nest syndrome. I probably would have, and I don't know if this would have been a good thing or not. I don't know if I would have needed to take it more slowly, and that maybe that was what Stephanie was doing. But I probably would have honed in on, you know, let's take a step back here and, tell me more about what's happening with your kids leaving, you know, mm-hmm. and I probably would have brought that more, a lot more into the body and gone into the whole, it seemed to me like she was probably really avoiding grief, which was, you know, she kept kind of focusing on details, focusing on wanting to do this. And the gap was kind of, you know, I want to get back to having my freedom. I mean, I can totally relate to this, but, you know, yet there's this feeling of no home base kind of thing. And what does that have to do with, or what might that have to do with what's happening with the kids growing up and leaving, you know?
Yep.
So that's probably the track I would have taken. Now, I'm a very feelings-based person, so I don't know.
I think that, so I'm glad that you're bringing that forward. So I think that that could have been a really interesting, again, like there are many paths to get to where we want to go. I do think that that would have been worth exploring. What I would want you to check, Siobhan, is I think there probably is something there around the empty nest syndrome. What I would want you to check is I didn't, at least from what I was hearing so far, hear grief there. Not to say that there wasn't, but I wouldn't direct it in that way. If you go down that road, the grief may come up for sure, but as you bring it forward, you want to first bring it forward to see like what's really there for the client.
Okay.
And what you want to remember is you all whatever road you ever want to go down, you always want to plug it back in and lightly, more than lightly, keep in mind what is it that the client wants by the end of the session. So if you're going to bring up the empty nest syndrome, again, which could have been really interesting, you're going to want to relate it, which she started to do already, but to this idea of freedom and what she really wants for herself.
Right, right.
Beautiful.
Okay,
nice. Yeah, good. Okay. Anna.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, great to hear your voice.
Good. I finally figured out how to actually join in from computer. It turns out Chrome works and not Safari. So good this works. I just want to say, like, first of all, I found it so courageous of both of them to step up and to be little guinea pigs. And I found it really fascinating as well to hear how someone else like would practice this, because I've come to kind of find one module that like really, really works for me. And so what I'm going to share is obviously how I would have done it in a way. But I was just hearing one of the things where I would have been curious to dive a little deeper into as a practitioner, is when Maggie said, how do I make this freedom happen? And this was like after the zoom out and connecting to the bigger vision, she mentioned that like she was having this feeling of like, well, how do I make this freedom happen? And personally, what I was hearing was that block from that mental mind. And it was like her mind not being able to fully see it. So diving into the body and just going like, okay, but what does your heart have to say about that? Like, what does your, like connecting it to
Sometimes our, like we've looked at, our minds are only going to take us so far because we do get stuck in the fears around the how, but sometimes the heart level or the spirit level or the body level can have the next set of answers for sure and have that clarity. Nice. Beautiful.
And then also I want to say with that, like, it was still very like amazing to see how even though Stephanie went on her like trajectory that was different from mine, she really brought it back beautifully in the end and had some amazing awarenesses to share. And that I thought was really inspiring to hear.
I'm glad you're bringing that forward, because I can't stress enough, there's many ways to effectively and masterfully get to what a client wants and needs by the end of the session. There isn't only one way. And I hope that gives everybody a sense of, like, a deep exhale. It doesn't just have to be one way. Good. Thank you.
It was really nice. Thank you both, and thank you to everyone.
Okay, great. Let's hear some more. These are all wonderful. Linda.
Hi. You know, the first thing I want to say is that I was so shocked when Stephanie said that she was nervous, because I thought she was so good, and she didn't sound nervous at all to me. And so that was just mind-blowing to me, because I thought she was amazing.
Well, let's pause on that before you share what you're going to share next. I'm really
sure.
glad you're bringing that forward, because that should also give everybody peace and a big exhale that, you know, yes, energy follows energy, but if you have some nervousness show up, your client, is so long as you stay grounded, it's not going to hijack the session at all, and you can come off very grounded. So
great. So I think one direction that I might have gone in was asking Maggie if she had taken risks in the past that worked, mm-hmm. and kind of go deep into that, like saying, you know, how did that feel, or something like what energy that you brought to that when you did that thing that worked. Because I've done this with people with presentations, and, you know, did they have a good presentation? What was the identity that they stepped into at that point, and maybe have them, you know, really flesh out an identity, like, you know, like super speaker, or what, I'm making this up, but, and then maybe a mantra that goes with that,
yeah,
or maybe some kind of decision that they need to make.
Yeah, so it's that definitely was a great, also another great direction that it could have gone in is when a client has like an obstacle, or they feel stuck because they don't feel like they can do something, it's a way of creating awareness around celebrations and strengths, right? Like, what are the resources that you do have? When have you been able to do this or something like this before? You know, and as we've looked at in celebrating them, the more that they can lean into the resources, the more confidence there's going to be to move forward.
Right.
And I would say, like, if it was a regular session, which for me is 45 minutes, but if it was a little bit of a longer session, that is probably something, if I were to get there, that I would do in combination with some of the looking at the patterning as well. Because it can work effectively. The looking at what's been done in the past is great, and sometimes when there are some of those kind of deeper patterns, like the push-pull that we saw kind of come up almost right away, pairing it with doing some deeper looking at those patterns can help. Good.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Great. Let's see. Christine.
Hi, can you hear? Hi. Yes. So first of all, thank you to the ladies. It was fantastic. I learned a lot. My highlight, like someone else mentioned, was, you know, when she asked to zoom out, you know, going back to the dream. It always, you know, going back to the dream is usually very inspirational and people get along. So that was great. But what I did notice, and I would probably have done differently, but it's always easier to speak about what you could do when you're a spectator rather than on the field. So I say this with caution, is there were lots of words that Maggie dropped that could have been explored further and would have led to the place that Stephanie did get to eventually. So, for example, very early on, she talked about the word clarity. That she wanted clarity, And I would have explored, what does that mean for you? What is clarity? And just be sure that we're on the same page. I think that might have given her the answers that she eventually, Stephanie, did get, but it would have been a quicker route there, is what I thought. And then there were a few others like that where, you know, I love that she was creating awareness, but I also think that the other way to create awareness would have been to just ask, so what does that mean for you? What does that look like for you? What does, you know, and of course I love the body thing that she went into, but that's, you know, the bit that I would have, the direction I would have taken with some of those clues, the low hanging fruit that Maggie presented.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the things that I had been wondering about as well in the very beginning, as the intentions were being set, mm-hmm. And perhaps defining clarity, you know, like really, like what does clarity mean? It may have done what you're talking about. I felt like there was, I still wasn't 100% sure when Stephanie, when they got to the point of, you should we look at strategies or should we look at the patterning, I still was a little unclear there. Like for me, I would have looked at the pattern as opposed to first the mm-hmm. pulling in and the pulling out, because it felt like there was something really important there. And I think maybe asking some more definition questions, speaking of the word clarity, may have created a little bit more clarity in the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, glad you're bringing that forward. Good. Let's see who's next. Anne.
Oh, hi. So this feels like we're writing a choose your own adventure of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you ask this, then it goes this direction. If you ask this, it goes this direction. So, in no particular order, I guess. One thing that came up for me in the beginning, which you were just alluding to, saying, well, are you more interested in looking at the blocks or more interested in looking at the strategy? Personally, that's typically not a thing that I ask my clients. That's a thing more where I would listen for what space are they in, and then offer them the space that I think they need to be in. Like, hey, it sounds like there may be some obstacles for you between, you know, the goal that you want to get to and, you know, being able to actually strategize, you know, can we take some time to look at what's getting in your way? To my experience says, if I ask a client what they're interested in working on, I have at least a 50-50 chance they're going to go for the thing that's easy, which may not be the thing that they actually mm-hmm. need to work on.
Yeah.
And going back to images that work really well, I heard Maggie using a lot of nautical language, you know, mm-hmm. feeling anchored. You know, when something gets hard, I abandon ship. And the original goal was to get a sense of direction. So one thing that I might suggest would be to capitalize on that language and say, okay, it sounds like you're maybe a little bit fogged in, like you want to get your ship moving, but you can't see the stars yet. So, you know, what tools do we need to help you clarify that direction? But along those same lines, you know, using our sacred depths and sacred seasons is, and just my, you know, with my own filter, like I really want to be in spring and summer, but I'm just coming out of the thaw of winter, and pushing to get moving in a direction isn't always the most productive. So I might explore, what season are you in right now, and what are the gifts of that season that could be explored more fully while you're still sitting still? Mm-hmm. So that you're really well grounded and really clear to move forward. It just felt like something got kind of skipped over there that could have been really deep and rich about this time to sit still. And then in the question, I didn't write the question down. It was what are you, what is it about this that scares you? I think I might have asked a broader question. You know, when you feel into this space, what are the fears that you notice come up for you? So I think that's a place to explore more or to ask. It seems like you get distracted in the details of how to make it happen, but you aren't 100% sure what you want to make happen. So what is it that feels safe about focusing on the details instead of clarifying the vision? Is it about not knowing what you want? Is it about wanting it at a different time than you're getting it? And I also heard in something that Maggie was saying, it may be my own filter from the pandemic, that we have all of these cultural conversations about freedom. And, you know, once the kids leave the nest and you have all this freedom and all this time, and what are you going to do with your time? And here we are in pandemic lockdown, and are you using your time productively? And, you know, how much of it is a deep desire to get moving, and how much of it is being influenced by perception of external expectations of how somebody should want to use that freedom and that space? And that was another place I heard that could be explored. And then the last note was, I hear an urgency in Maggie to decide. And I want to know more about what's behind that urgency. Is it an urgency, again, from that deep drive? Or is that urgency a should? Or is that urgency an avoidance of something else? So that's everything that was legible in my notes.
There's a lot. Thank you. Awesome. There's a lot there. I'm going to pull a couple of the pieces out. So first of all, the imagery, the anchoring and the ship. We always have something, I'm glad you're bringing it, something we always want to listen for, and it is a very viable direction to go in, you know, when people use a certain type of imagery or feeling words or smelling words or sounding words to continue on with those metaphors. So 100% on that. What else did I want to pull out? Oh, with the you mentioned the question of, you know, I think the words that Stephanie used were, you know, what's scary for you about freedom? And did you guys notice, like, Maggie was like, she paused on that, and then you could tell that there was something that was a little, like, ungrounding for her around that. She said, nothing really scares me. And then she started to talk about the anchor, which was great. But word choices are important. And I, too, was thinking to go down the avenue of looking at some of the fear around freedom. But I just want to point out to you guys, and Anne, I think you're starting to speak to this, like, when you say, like, what's scary about it, it has a different kind of energy than, I know you really want freedom. Is there something about it that scares you? Or are there any limiting beliefs about it? Now, sometimes the direct, you know, what's so scary is going to kind of, like, puncture something and make something pop. Other times it can put the client a little bit on the defensive. So you want to think about just how you're using some of the words there. And it's interesting what you're saying, Anne. What was the last piece? Oh, is this the right time? So I don't know if it's your filter or my filter, and we can ask Maggie. I didn't pick up on any of that. Like, what I heard was that, and I think this is why she brought Sacred Depths into it, is that even before the pandemic, she was ready to make a move and to start to move things along. But I'm glad that you're bringing it up, because I've got filters too.
I think it was maybe less so the internal orientation of time and more a sense of is there something to explore, and is there a larger time cycle that may be nudging you in a different direction than you would have thought? And I think that was one of the thoughts I didn't get all the way down on the page.
Got
like
it.
Sometimes the external circumstances that push us aren't just coincidences.
Yeah.
They're random, but it's actually,
yeah,
some, you know,
yeah,
the storm that's blowing us off,
yeah,
course,
yeah,
is trying to
got
send
it
us to a better place.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Okay, great. We have 9 minutes left, and there's still some hands raised. I'm going to lower hands for right now because I want to share a couple more pieces, and then we'll wrap up with more questions and takeaways and all of that. There's a couple pieces I want to make sure I get through. So I'm not going to, say anything that's already been said. Just kind of say some new things. Some of them are going to be things that worked really well. Some of them are going to be things that I would have done differently. And just so you know, Stephanie and everybody here, I am a Virgo nitpicky. And so don't feel nitpicked at. Know that I'm doing this because I know that everybody here wants to improve as much as they can. And also, it's just my point of view. I am not the end-all, be-all. Take what's valuable and leave behind the rest. One of the things that you did at the beginning to set the container, a step from setting intentions, is you asked Maggie, you know, you guys hadn't coached together before, you may not have ever even spoken directly together before, you know, and so you took a moment, are you feeling ready, you know, all of that, which was great. It helped set the container. Anything that Maggie mentioned that she was nervous, and what you said, Stephanie, is like anything that you need to do, which is a great question. If it were me, I may have just validated that, right? If a client says they're nervous about something, I may have said, I totally get it. I'm nervous too, you know, being in front of all these people or whatever it is. But just something to validate that vulnerable feeling that the client shared with you, especially in the beginning of a call, is something I maybe would have done differently. You did so much great reflecting back. Hold on, I'm trying to read my notes here. You did so much great reflecting back. When you asked the question, which was a great question, what do you want to do with the space that you have? Because Maggie was talking about having all of this space, right? And she wanted clarity. She mentioned a bunch of things, and you reflected back beautifully. You want to travel. You know, you want to feel like you can be anywhere in the world. But the thing that she had also mentioned inside of that, that you didn't reflect back, that I think was an important piece here, and again, this might be my filter because it relates to Maggie's coaching career, but you didn't reflect back that also coaching could be done from anywhere in the world, which is something that she mentioned, and I think is one of the important bridges when she gets to the how of, like, how is she going to make all of this happen? Part of the strategizing, right, like the reason why she signed up for Sacred Depths was so that she could have this freedom and do all of this travel and sustain herself in it and also have a route back at home. So that was a piece that I think kept on slipping through the cracks. Again, could be my own filter because of Sacred Depths, but I do think it could have been important there. You did some great validating and normalizing around the lockdown being hard and unknown. Just trying to look through my notes for things that weren't actually said. One place, Maggie said, you know, I'm not really scared of anything. That was from that question we were just talking about. But then she said, you know, it's really more on the other side. You know, that I want to make sure that I have an anchor. And I know that you got this, Stephanie, but I think you could have more directly created awareness in that moment by reflecting back that, what I'm hearing, tell me if I'm getting this right, is that there actually is a fear here around freedom and a belief about freedom in here. And the fear and the belief is that if you have your freedom, you can't also have an anchor at the same time. So I might have paused on that and just more directly created awareness around that piece. And then from there, some directions that I would have wanted to go in, possibly what would having freedom and having an anchor look like? What's the difference between an anchor and a home base? Because I think Maggie was using those two ideas as interchangeable, but there might be a difference there. And then looking possibly at some belief work based on that. As we spoke about, the tuning into the body piece was great. It helped Maggie really see there's a difference between what all of her body, heart, and soul wants, but then what her monkey mind is, how it's knocking her out. Hold on. Oh, you know, there's another piece that I just want to say. I think I mentioned it earlier. Again, there's so many different directions that could be taken, but in the very beginning, Stephanie, you did this just masterful piece of creating awareness around the pulling in, the pattern around pulling in and pulling out. I wonder, I personally would have jumped on that. You brought it back around the end really beautifully, and it was clear that there was a lot, you know, more that could be explored there. I was wondering if you would have kind of gone there to begin with. I'm trying to see if I can understand the rest of my notes here real quick. It's beautiful. She got to the the creating awareness that you did around, you know, what I'm seeing, Maggie, is that you do go for it. Because right before that, she said, I have a pattern of not going for it. And that was really beautiful. And Maggie, I hope you really took that in deeply. I would have given a little bit more space and maybe said that a little slower because it was such an important moment. And to Linda's comment earlier, it was showing actually a resource that she has, right? She does go for things, actually. And you also created the awareness that there is so much clarity. Last piece, you gave homework. The homework was great. Start to notice. What are the thoughts? Where do you get pulled out? You know, doing more of that pull in, pull out. And I would assume that in if you were working together regularly in the next session, you'd go there deeper. There were a couple of other homework pieces I would have given. One is to connect in more with the vision that did come through and that full body feeling and really lean into it, continue to connect to it so that it becomes more of a force to be reckoned with when the fears and the pull in and the pull out and the how, you know, like all of that. So that's one piece of homework I would have given. I would have given, and again, this could be my filter, homework around sacred depths. Again, I would have made the connection that the coaching, the idea of becoming a coach is what can allow her, possibly one of the things that could allow her to have all of this, the freedom and the anchor. And I would ask her, what homework she would want to give herself about stepping more in to the training or around starting to think about clients, you know, and again, you'd need a longer session for some of this, but I would maybe create some actionable steps as well. And then the last piece, Maggie sort of said what she was taking at the end of the call, and you were running out of time, but you always want to end with, you know, what are you taking from the call? Okay, we are almost at time. If you guys can hang on just a few more minutes, that would be awesome. If you can't, I understand. Maggie, if you are still here, could you raise your hand if you're still here? You may or may not be. Star 2.
Awesome. Maggie, is there anything else that you want to add or share from a client point of view, and also what you really did take from the session?
Sure. Just to even just echo some of the stuff that other people were saying, for me, I love the, okay, let's take a moment to zoom out. I thought that was really nice. And, it was placed in such a way that it did have that nice flow to it. I was a little reluctant coming in because I knew that I didn't know exactly what I wanted to address. And mm-hmm. I knew I was giving like a really broad, like, oh, I want clarity, you know. And I knew that going in, and I almost prefaced it like, oh, good luck with this.
It's great. It's all good. Yeah.
Anyways, I did enjoy that zoom out point. I think that I did feel like she was present with me the whole time. And I feel like some of that stuff, like as far as like, oh, check in with the body, like where does that feel? I feel like if you're not truly present with somebody when you are offering that sort of practice, it can come off really cheesy. And like for me personally, and I get that that's one of my filters, and I'd be like, oh, and then you kind of like just, you know, be a little judgy about it and pass it off. But it was really nice, and it felt genuine and authentic to Stephanie. And that came across for me, and I could truly feel all of that in my body, which was awesome. It was kind of like, you have a really good meditation session and you're just like kind of buzzing and vibrating. It was like that. So that was kind of cool. Let's see here.
If you were to give yourself a homework piece or two based on what you're taking from the call, so that you could continue to move forward, what's the homework that you would want to give yourself?
To pause and create an awareness around when I start to feel, I'm going to say muddled, I start to, it's more like, and I would say like all of it's more of like a concern or a worry than a fear. As far as all that stuff goes, I don't really feel fearful around any of it. But I do when I get like, I would take a, to just create awareness of what brings that muddledness, why can I not focus on, what feels good, if that makes sense.
So to bring awareness.
Yeah. I think like in general that for short of a session I feel like it was really productive. I did like the way that she brought back around the clarity part and just recognizing, even though that I don't totally buy it yet, but recognizing that, hey, you do go for things and, they do work out. So maybe that would be another piece of homework for myself that she might not have recognized because she didn't hear me in my head being like,
But yeah, so that's another, so I want you to do that as well. I'd love for you to journal some more on that.
Okay.
Good. Awesome. Okay, I know we're over time, so I guess we'll pause for here. Any takeaways, please post in the Facebook group. I really want to hear takeaways from everybody, what you're learning, and any other questions that you have. Thank you again. I'm sending you all love, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.